there, boys and girls, and this is the Area Fishing Report. We're trying to get to it most of the day, but, and we just had a good start on. We talked about the Fort Myers Boat Show, weird things that all happen, but it's getting late. We got to get this thing up. So we're going to go right to the Peace River, fishing Frank in the chair, and Robert's in the chair across from me, and as always, he is just full of stuff today. And hopefully part of what he's full of is actually fishing information. But no guarantees, folks, but we're going to do the best we can. So, anyway, let's see. Come on, Frank. Quit playing the guitar. All right. God, I'm so annoying when I do that. All right. Anyway, hey, Robert.
Hi, Frank.
Okay. Now we got Pleasant's trees out of the way. Get to work, dang it. Let's start slinging some fishing reports here. Come on, I want to know what's going on up on the Peace River here.
Get your fingers working.
Yeah. Thanks. Just remind me how poor I am at this. Okay.
No, it's all good. The fishing's actually starting to pick up. This cold front kind of has really kind of accelerated some stuff. It's moved a few better redfish up into the river. There's still a lot of little guys around, but I'm hearing some more and more reports of some legal-sized fish. The juvenile snook have started to move up in there in very good numbers. Where the big ones are at is, I don't know, it's way out of my league because I have no idea where the big fish are at. But guys are seeing more and more on their lights at night. Guys are catching them trolling up the main channel, heading up towards Shell Creek. So they're starting to pick up a few of them. I did hear of a few whiting also in the southern part of what I would consider like Harbor Heights, I-75 area. So the activity is definitely starting to pick up, you know. And there was a lot of people that went and fished up there, you know, yesterday because it was pretty blooming cold and a little on the breezy side. So there was a handful of guys in this morning talking about what they had for activity up there. I think I had more people talk about the boat show than the fishing part of it, though, up there. So it's a good thing.
The boat show was absolutely astounding, amazing. You know, here we are talking about it in the after. But I was so tired. I mean, I'd get up in the morning, we'd come in here, try and get stuff, haul down there to the boat show, and we were down there from 8:30 to a little after 5, coming back up here and doing all that. I'm getting old, man. I used to be able to do 16 hours a day and be fine, but it seems like lately I do something as simple as a 12-hour day, and I'm just getting my butt kicked.
So, hey, you're holding up better than most 18-year-olds that are looking for work.
Yeah, okay.
you put them to shame.
Yeah, but, you know, I wouldn't mind a quiet space and to be able to go pet a puppy. I could use a little time with a coloring book myself.
I was going to say, what about a coloring book?
I thought about it. I don't think I'm quite to the level where I need to Play-Doh yet, but
oh,
you know.
Okay.
Good God. All right. Anyway.
It's a whole different subject.
I'm like, really? Oh, man. I think it should be mandatory that these kids going to these $60,000 a year colleges need to come work for me for a month.
All right.
We will make adults out of them. It won't even take a month. You need a quiet space? Yes, I got you a good quiet space right there underneath that bait tank. Start cleaning.
Right.
They get underneath there and clean out all them dead shrimp, the rotten shrimp for a day, and, you know, deal with a few little critters and stuff. We'll make adults out of them quick. All right. Anyway, the 41 Bridge, it's got to be just a haven for wonderful fishing and just amazing things all the way around.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I tried to build it up, right? Yeah.
I've had only a couple reports, honestly. There's been a few whiting being caught off the 41 Bridge and a couple boaters catching them down there. The snook activity has been mediocre at best. Heard of only one legal fish caught down there at that new park right there on the north end. Other than that, it's been relatively quiet. And I think it's just because the weather's been so nice this past week. That a lot
well,
of people
what
ran
about
through.
Over to Lashley Pier, anything going on over there?
Same thing, couple small snook.
Crickets.
Yeah, couple small snook, couple whiting, you know, nothing to jump up and down about yet. I think after this front this past weekend, I think we're going to see a noticeable increase in some of the other fish moving up this way, but for now, meh.
Well, now it saves me a lot of typing. All right, jumping across the bridge, back over to the Port Charlotte side, we're up to Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier, now that's crickets. I have not heard of one good report, to be honest with you, this week at all.
You want to help? We just started. Set of headphones there. No, open that up. I don't know why that's closed.
She just got in the safe.
Yeah, so...
I know.
All right. Okay.
He didn't catch any fish today.
All right. We're going to get to that when we get to the spot. In the meantime, Captain Carl, anything you heard around over by Bayshore?
Few cobia. There's some few redfish, and there's been some good snook fishing at nighttime.
All right.
Any size to the cobia?
A couple clients, customers came in, and they had two keepers.
They caught them out front there in front of Bayshore?
Yes, right off the pier.
Oh, off the pier.
Yep.
Right off the pier.
Yeah,
cool.
They were land fishing.
Well, that's not a bad thing. It's better than what I've heard. I've heard crickets. Mm. Oh, that's a good thing to hear.
Anything else going on at Bayshore?
Not much. I mean, there's a few black drum running that, you know, both sides right there.
It's not too bad.
Mm-mm. Okay. I got maybe a black drum or two. All right. We are into the Port Charlotte Canal Systems. Robert, anything?
A lot of little snook and a whole lot of jacks moving into those canals. At the mouths of the canals, there's also been some redfish and some black drum being caught. Juvenile tarpon, obviously, are still up inside some of those canals that the guys are doing well on. You know, it's starting to really light up. I'm starting to get good mixed reports, and I think partially due to the weather and partially due to a lot of our wintertime visitors are back down and starting to play around behind their houses fishing, so it's definitely getting a little bit more optimistic.
All right. Carl, anything?
Same thing that Robert said, but there's also been starting a lot of sheep that are starting to move in over there. A bunch of them are smaller ones, but they are getting some good keepers out of there, too.
Are they moving in, or are those resident fish that are just finally kind of bunching
up? Around the docks or under bridges?
Docks around more of your, like, your more barnacle areas and more oyster areas.
Okay, because sheepin are not an open water fish. There's usually got to be something there for them.
I try to target them around all the oyster beds.
Okay. Let's see. I guess that's now spelled correctly. Woth is that should have been spelled with. All right, we're up to the Eljabeen Pier. Robert first.
Eljabeen's been getting actually a few keepers snook off of there at night and a couple oversized fish. The trout have started to pull in there just a little bit more. I've had a couple guys catch some bigger trout there at night while snook fishing also. During the daytime, had a couple oddball mixed reports of a few sheep's head, a few mangrove snapper, and a lot of little trout. But me personally, I think most of those sheep's head that are there right now are just resident fish that are starting to bunch back up. Cause
well, I think places like 41... even some of the places in the canals and Eljabeen, you've got a lot of fish that have been scattered all through the canals, up the rivers, because they go through all the bays and everything, and they're going to look for places to come to.
Right.
So resident, but I would say residents from a 3 to 5 mile area.
Right.
Starting to come together there, and then maybe those groups will go to meet other groups.
Right.
I mean, just from the way I'm looking at it, there's a difference between residents that live right at that pier and residents from the area.
Neighbors.
Neighbors are all getting together in one spot. Block party!
Yep.
Okay, put all the... Never mind. Okay, Captain Coral?
I've been hearing a lot of good snook fishing going on up there, especially at nighttime. You know, there's a big mixed size. You know, they're getting oversized and keepers. They're mainly fishing the lights where the lights are hitting the water from the bridge.
Fishing the edges of the shadow line?
Yep.
It's always
throwing big storm paddle tails. That's what a lot of the people I've been talking to have been using.
Those can be really pretty fun over there with that.
Yeah.
Just a matter of fighting some of the other people because it's like swords casting back and forth and over each other's lines every now and then.
It'd be neat to, like, put glow sticks on the fishing pole, and you could watch, like, you know, Star Wars type stuff.
Right.
All right. We're up to the Mica cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, Tippy Canoe Bay, 14-foot hole. Anything?
The north end of the Mica cutoff, there's still some snooks, some redfish. Even heard of a few pompano and trout right there on the outside, just as it's going from that flat and entering into the channel of the cut. What about you, Carl? You hearing anything worthwhile in there?
There's a lot of redfish in there. It's
inside
a big mix.
Inside the cutoff?
Inside, yes. There fishing all those deep holes. There's a big mixed variety. I mean, there's rat reds, and then there's good-sized keepers. And then there's also a lot of snook put dumping into the cutoff because it's a lot warmer in there because of how muddy it is. But the other day I was in there, I mean, we were redfishing, and I was hearing snook blowing up on every single shoreline we went to.
Well, that's a pretty good indication right there, especially when you got them popping during the daytime like that.
Yep. That's pretty good. All right. Anything in the South Gulf Coast canals? I got nothing. I've been gone all week again.
I have nothing.
One guy went bluegill fishing in there and did real well, but he said the bass fishing has been very quiet for him personally. So he was going to target stuff that he could bend the rod with. So He said the bluegill have been cooperating fine for him. No giants, but semi-consistently.
Okay. Moving our way down to the West Wall. Anything going on in the West Wall?
Yeah, everybody fishing over there.
It was bare today.
Was it?
Yep.
It was what?
There was nobody on it today.
Ah.
And there was a lot of fish over there. A lot of redfish. There was a lot of snook.
Yeah, those redfish and snook are peppered up and down the entire shoreline, both out on the flats and up underneath the bushes.
Target your oyster bed piles for all your sheep's head. There's some very nice sheep's head on that west wall right now.
Like Trout Creek and stuff right there at the entrance there, it drops off?
No, on the main part of the west wall, you know, you have your little oyster patches. I mean, I know where they are because I could run it on a shallow tide. But, you know, trolling motor down until you find a nice oyster patch and you cast around it because it's either going to be redfish hanging around there or there's going to be some good sheep's head. The best bet right now to fish that is on the high water. If the water starts dropping, those fish push out into the flats and they get pretty scattered out.
You seen any pompano over there at all?
No, I haven't seen any pompano.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're around. I just haven't heard of any this week over there.
But that whole west wall, that there's fish from the north end all the way to the south end.
Okay. Any particular bait?
Shrimp.
Shrimp is what you're using.
Yep. Okay. Shrimp on a jig head.
All right. So if we're going down to Cape Hay, yeah, it was funny. You were giving one of the seminars at the boat show, and the guy says, I got to go because, you know, I got someplace I got to be. But I was listening to Carl, you know, and usually they say, well, the captain said about, you know, this, and, you know, like a jig head or a lure, and you're wondering what it is. He said, he was talking about a jig head, and I listened, I heard your voice. I said, wait a minute, come right here. I know exactly what you want. You either want this pink one or this gold one. It's going to be this one in the Rockport Rattler. I said, this is an easy fix. You, I can help. I said, sometimes I got to actually go up to the speaker and say, what were you just talking about? You know, because I don't get to hear it all. I was so busy being out amongst the crowd. You know, I was being the host and friendly Fishing Frank. I wasn't being myself. I was actually, you know, just kind of being, you know, nice. So, but those cards we were giving away with me as a Santa was just too funny. I mean, they were literally holding them up. They'd look at it and they'd look at me and then they would hold it up next to my head and go, what? And they were dying laughing. Yeah. I mean, God, Josh did a job on that. They just cutting up constantly about it. Anyway, Cape Hayes, what's going on at Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes got a lot of trout moving on to it. I mean, of assorted sizes, mostly on the smaller side, but there is a lot of them dumping onto it. Just drift it, basically, and start fan casting. I would probably throw a popping cork with a paddle tail or a little DOA shrimp underneath it, and you should be able to cover some pretty serious ground with catch quite a few. I've heard of a couple flounder being caught on there, a couple pompano on the Boca Grande side along the edge, some ladyfish and Spanish mackerel also on that deeper side. So kind of a kind of a good little catch-all spot going on right there right now. And you can see Flipper all you want to, because yes, he seems to be pretty prolific there this past week.
Yes, they are.
I don't think I've had one person come in and say Flipper wasn't there, not bothering them.
There's probably about 100 of them there today.
Really?
Yep.
You know, are they doing what they did a few years ago, where they're kind of hanging outside when they figure out what side of the boat you're fishing on? They'll move to the other side and stay out of the way.
They were free jumping today, and coming completely out of the water. Six jumps.
Oh, doing aerial stuff, yep, so that you'll feed them, right?
No, they were putting a show on.
Nice. It's amazing, because what they would do to us is they had learned that, okay, there I'm fishing up against the shore, and I'm going to release these fish. So we'd put a fish in the water, and it'd start swim off. Dolphin would come up under the boat around the side. Bam! Lunch! And, you know, a lot of people get really upset about it, but I'm thinking to myself, it's his job. That's how he makes a living, catching and eating fish.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Bad, good. Look at it different.
There has been a lot of flounder there. We got 4 flounder there today, fishing on the inside of Cape Hayes on that deep wall. We did get a couple redfish there today. And then if you sneak into Muddy Bay, there is a school of black drum in there.
No, really?
Yep.
What were they hitting on?
Shrimp.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Shrimp on jig head.
Is your depth finder working? Any water temps?
66.
66? Yep. Wow, it's going to get even colder than that.
Oh, yeah.
This air temp, as cold as it was last night, and then as chilly as it's been during the day, has it been, I don't know if it's been really sunny out or not.
It's been sunny
out today.
Yeah, so it's not going to get quite as cold. That sun will cook it up a little bit. But the only time I was even outside, I went to the Fort Myers store this morning, and I was down there, then drove back up here. And for some reason, I couldn't remember if it literally there could have been a hurricane.
The last 5 days have been a blur. And,
you know, well, I got all these factories after the sale that everybody's, you know, calling, and everybody wants orders, and okay, we got to get all this stuff replaced. And I've been on the phone a lot all day. So anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and is one better than the other? Or are they both pretty good?
Turtle's doing a lot better.
Yeah, I think Turtle's doing a lot better too. I mean, that little patch of red tide that kind of moved in there last week kind of chased some of the fish out, and the ones that didn't swim fast enough are now shrimp food. Yep. But there's been a lot of trout moved in there, some redfish, definitely a lot of snook of assorted sizes in there, a few ladyfish and pompano, you know, kind of a mixed gamut. You can actually see the cycle of life going through there, because you'll see like a better concentration of mullet and stuff jumping on the what I would consider like the northern side of Turtle Bay, and as you're working more towards the southern end over towards the Eagle's Nest, as it gets closer to the Bull Bay cut, you notice less and less fish moving around.
There was some big snook over there by the Eagle's Nest today, some very big snook. We didn't catch any of them, but, I mean, we were trout fishing, and I was looking, and I was seeing some big snook running the shorelines right there by the Eagle's Nest.
Those snook are always there, and boy, are they a bugger to get to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can go there is when the mosquitoes are at their finest and throw a dead bait out and sit there and just wait.
But there's trout all over Turtle Bay. Just start drifting to grass flats. You know, once you catch one, anchor up, and you'll catch a bunch more. Once it stops, pull your anchor up and start floating again until you catch another one. But there's a lot of mixed variety of trout in there right now.
Cool. Cape Hayes Reef, right out in front. Anything out there?
Bunch of ladyfish.
Yeah, ladyfish and a few Spanish macks and a few small bluefish mixed in with them.
Ladyfish were there today.
The ladyfish were heavy in there today?
Yes.
Did you throw a jig head underneath them?
Yeah.
Or could you get past them?
No, I was just throwing a plain jig head in and catching them.
Okay. I know sometimes when those ladyfish move on there, sometimes a pompano or mix in with them around that reef.
Yeah, right. We went out there and caught some for bait.
Gasparilla Sound, out in that area.
Honestly, from what I've heard,
red
it's tide been pretty
on
quiet.
And off.
Yes, yeah. I've been staying away from that area.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm sure it's cleared out of there, but just I think it was enough to spook people.
Well, I have. I talked to 2 captains at the boat show. They just said they're done with charters for till 2 weeks. They just took now off between now and up into there, because they fish mostly Pine Island Sound and Gasparilla Sound. That's their primary fishing areas.
Right.
and they tagged out for the next 2 weeks. They just canceled their trips for the next 2 weeks and said, listen, we're going to let the red tide run its course and jump back up when it's gone.
There you go. I don't blame them.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of it comes and goes so much, and you got a little bit in this area, and then it's gone, then it comes over here, and it could be anywhere up and down, and a lot of it's just because we don't have any rain.
Right.
Without the rain, we lose our shield of impenetrability. Our Star Trek force field is gone, because the only thing that guaranteed to kill red tide is fresh water.
Right.
It's been coming in and out with the tide, too.
And we've had a lot of west winds. Which the wind's blowing out of the north right now, though.
Northeast
today.
Thank God. We need northeast winds. Blow that stuff back out of the harbor and get it gone. Yeah. It'll go out with the outgoing tide, and that wind will just keep moving it out. So, good deal. Placida Pier, Placida Trestle. What's going on out there?
Only a handful of people told me they've gotten some mangrove snapper and a few sheep's head off of there. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet, and I think they're again because of the red tide publicity, because the epicenter seems to be right there in the Gasparilla Sound.
Yeah, there was moderate to heavy concentrations in four of the 16 samples they took in Charlotte, but most of them were low to background.
Right.
The ones they got the heaviest concentration on were right there along the ICW in Gasparilla Sound.
Right.
You have to wonder
that's kind of
why that area got hit. Because they weren't even finding as much out in the Gulf.
Right.
But right there along the ICW.
It's like that bloom started right there or something.
Yeah, it's like something happened right there. A little bit of extra fertilizer hit. Something hit and just popped it off.
Yeah. A little strange.
All right. Lemon Bay. Any reports from up there?
Lemon Bay, I'm still getting some good reports on the mainland, you know, the east side shoreline, basically, of all those docks are starting to hold more snook. Some of the redfish have moved on to them a little bit better. Been a few oddball flounder and snapper.
There's some grouper on them docks.
Yeah?
Yes.
Some gag grouper?
Yes.
Yeah. There's always a handful there, but it's not.
Well, the big ones haven't showed up yet. There's a lot of small ones right now.
There you go.
Big ones will be here as soon as it gets a little colder.
What's the right temperature for those fish like that?
I usually look at them around like 62.
Okay.
That's when I really start going out that way. But throw a pinfish under their docks, you know, you're either going to get a gag grouper or you're going to get a snook or a redfish right now. Also, just north of the Tom Adams Bridge over by like the kayak launch, there's been a lot of big trout there and there's been, you know, a lot of redfish running that shoreline.
Oh, where the guys go wade fishing up there?
Yeah.
Nice. That's a pretty area.
Mm-hmm. Nice grass flats.
Flats through there. The whole area is pretty amazing. I don't fish it very often, unfortunately.
Okay. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams, right from the pier. I should ask Chandler. He was going there last night to fish. I don't know how he did.
He's been doing pretty good there. We talked the other day. He's been catching some nice snook there.
Yeah, but he was going out specifically. He was taking an old teacher of his out, and I don't know how he did. I should have asked him. But
he's been doing pretty good on the snook there.
Yeah, there's been quite a few snook there, a couple juvenile tarpon, then some big ladyfish mixed in with them at night. The daytime fishing I haven't heard much of. It's mainly been the snook thing at night. Even with that little bit of red tide that came through, it only kind of burned a couple guys, but the majority of them still live in that area, so they're willing to go try it and check it on a pretty regular basis. So we seem to get more thorough information about that spot than anything else.
Well, I didn't realize Chandler lived out there, so
I had no idea he lived out there.
Yeah, he's on a probationary tryout here at Fish and Frank's, and seems like a really nice guy. Charlie from Quantum gave him a real nice endorsement. So. Yeah.
A lot of people like him.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to see, but I'm hoping to get a little more reports from him about the Englewood area and all that, because he lives out there, so that would be good.
There you go.
All right. And he spent the weekend with me. He had to ride down in the truck and work all day at the show and ride back, and he still wants to work here.
Hey,
the boy's got a thick skin, I tell you. You know, he's tough.
His skull cap is on too tight.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. They got back up here. I think it was Saturday night or something. They said, or it was either Saturday or Sunday night. They said, "So, what'd you think of working with Frank?" He's like, "Well, it's okay." "So, did he yell at you?" "Well, yeah." "Oh, don't worry, you'll get used to it." He says, "Well, he really only yelled at me when I did something wrong." He said, "Yeah, well, don't worry, he'll forget. He forgets in about 3 minutes anyway." They were breaking him good, giving him fair warning to, you know, make sure this is really what you want to do. How many times did he yell at you today? With all the wind and lack of wind for a few days, because, I mean, The first few days of the boat show, it was so calm. I don't think they quite had the attendance they thought they were going to get the first couple days.
It was beautiful.
It was absolutely gorgeous. I think the reason they broke all their attendance records over the weekend, because everybody went home and told their friends, this is the biggest boat show, the most unbelievable boat show that has hit the west coast of Florida in memory. I mean, just the most amazing, from Little John boats, kayaks, multi-million dollar skiffs, flats boat, pontoon boats, you name it, everything was there.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, we had to be, what, I would say 800 feet anyway?
Yeah.
Further away from
where we were
thing.
Last year.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they pushed us an easy quarter mile down with more boats and more stuff and more vendors. And what was cool, we had a bar right next to us this year. We had the Redfish Pub right next to us. We had a bar. And then right up the way, you know, just a couple minutes walk was that Everglades, whatever. The
barbecue place.
So we had a nice spot this year.
And very nice.
I love dead ending that show. I like being way out in the middle. Remember that one? Were you with us when we did that one up in the middle and with all the people? It was just horrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Not us at all. We go, I beg him, put us all the way at the end, as slow a place as you go. Because, I mean, the bad news is that there's like 25% to a third of the people that go through the rest of it. The good news is there's three quarters more people over there. Yeah. They're not over by us. Everybody kind of gets down that end. And they just walk along, they go, okay. And that you can visibly see them slow down and kind of take a breath, and they kind of get to the end of it. And I was joking with so many of them, nope, you've hit the end of the world here. You go a few more feet, you're going to fall right off the end of the world right there. You know? You really got to turn around and go back to the world from here. And we had so much fun because
it was a blast.
But it's way more our style to be over where everybody's slowing down and just kind of, we just had, it's so much more fun because everybody's talking and the people walk by and next thing you know, you got a conversation going. And for the slow end of the show, I bet you we had, you know, 100 people. I mean, there was just constant people. I can't imagine what the other end was like, where it's usually just, you know, many, many more times that people. I couldn't even imagine. So anyway, out in the Gulf of Mexico, what happened out there with all the wind and weather?
Well, the wind and the weather killed it, but before the wind and the weather, it was pretty amazing. I mean, the king mackerel are anywhere from a mile to 15 miles offshore. A lot of Spanish mackerel mixed in with them. There's been a couple little schools of bonita out there. And then the guys who have been hitting some of those nearshore reefs, you know, like from 3 to 10 miles out, been doing really good on the bottom bite. You know, they've been getting a few more gags. The porgies, the sheep's head, the flounder, some bigger mangs. The lane snapper finally started to pick back up again. It seemed like we had a little bit of a lull there. I don't know if it's because of the 2 months of just blowing miserable weather, but just wasn't hearing much about the snapper. But now I'm starting to get more reports of that again.
Saturday, my dad went offshore, and when I got home from the boat show, I had a clean fish for an hour and a half.
Yeah?
He went 22 miles out.
Good thing you like your dad, huh?
Yes. And, I mean, I had to clean a bunch of red grouper, a bunch of snapper. I mean, they did really good.
They went 22 out?
22 miles, and that's where they sat there until they came back.
Yeah, 18 to 25 is where I've been hearing most of the red grouper. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of right in that magic number. Yep. The only thing I haven't heard much about out there really is triple tail. There's been a handful, but most of them have been small and very scattered.
All the triple tail are north.
North?
Yes, up by like the north end of Englewood to Venice.
Okay.
I got a buddy, you know, works out there on a crab boat, and he's been seeing a lot of them.
That's why I was bringing it up, because I know you know those guys.
Yeah, they've been all north. He hasn't really seen very many on his south traps, but, I mean, all the north traps, he says they're loaded of them. You know, from little guys to, you know, the bigger ones.
Well, that's always promising. They're fun to fish for.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of got to dedicate the time to it, and it's worthwhile, especially for the fight, watching them jump. It's amazing that them chubby little round things can just jump the way
fly
they do.
Fly out of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's like catching a 3 to 10 pound bluegill that jumps.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy fighting them. When they're, you know, say 24 to 30 inches long, they're spectacular fish. I mean, I like the little ones, 12, 14, 11 inches. They're fun. They're just great. And sneaking up on them, getting them to bite. But when you get into those that are, you know, pushing 30 inches, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a career out of that. And I used to have several customers that would, you know, because one of the things I was really noted for was, you know, monster triple tail. That was one of my things, among a lot of other things that, you know, probably are better off not mentioned. All right. Anyway, we're up to the passes, like Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Gasparilla Stump. So Stump Pass, what were you talking about there, sheephead?
Some sheephead, some really big whiting, and a handful of snook still coming in through there. That's about the only pass, honestly, I've heard any good report of, just because everything else has had little bouts of red tide, and especially from Captiva South. You know, everyone's complaining down there about it. You know, the jetties, I had a guy that was out there on Saturday, and he said it was crickets. You know, he saw two sheep's head caught, and they were tiny, and one mangrove snapper. That was it.
What pass was that?
Up there at Venice at the jetties there.
Ponderosas have some snook on outgoing tide. I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, the outgoing tide's pushing the red tide out, and it's not there as bad on the outgoing tide, but they've been doing pretty good on the outgoing tide down there. I got a buddy that lives down there, and he's been using live ladyfish.
Well, hang on to that, because I'll get to that as
okay.
I got a special spot for Sanibel Ponderosa, so keep that in mind. Okay. Here we're going to go walk along the beach, and if you, Carl, just to let you know that you could be the beaches in Venice, Manasota Key, Boca, you know, Captiva Island, any of those. If you were going to take a rod and reel and go from the beach casting out anything you think you'd likely to catch.
You know, there's a lot of whiting running the beaches up close on, you know, where the waves are breaking. There's still a few snook running around out there, but other than that, I haven't really heard very much. I do know, you know, the people that are out there going for the snook, they're throwing silver spoons. You know, and the whiting, they're just using little shrimps on them, a little silly willy or a jig head.
That's pretty productive.
Right.
And I'm hearing kind of a mirror image of that with I've got a gentleman. He's got friends that are staying out on Cayo Costa. Fishing the beach, and I sold him some of the silly willies. You know how most guys look at you when, like, you got three heads when you hand them a pink silly willy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not manly to cast a pink lure. Like, trust me, this works. So he took them with him out there, and they've been having a field day. He came in this morning to buy more pink ones because he said they actually worked. They've been catching some jacks, some whiting, a few pompano, a couple flounder, couple snook. I mean, they've been banging them out there on Cayo Costa, mostly on the beach side. He said they went on the inside to see if they could get other varieties of fish, but he said mostly everything was out on that beach side. So I just like it that he came in to say you were right with the pink ones, because he thought I was a little strange. It's funny, those pink silly willies from Stump Pass down to Sanibel, pink is the number one seller. From, say, Manasota Beach north to Tampa, chartreuse is the number one seller, with pink being the second best seller. It's strange.
All right. Why is it if you go to the Panhandle, everybody uses cigar minnows for bait? You go to the Keys, everybody uses ballyhoo for bait, but off this coast, it's Spanish mackerel, or Spanish sardines.
Yeah.
Sardines here. Yep. Keys is ballyhoo. The Panhandle, cigar minnows.
Yeah.
You know,
the other coast is
all mullet, silver mullet.
Yep.
So you got silver mullet, ballyhoo, Spanish sardines, and then cigar minnows. And, I mean, that's just on one state.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. All right, now we're up to Punta Rasa. What were you saying about Punta Rasa, Sanibel?
You know, because of that red tide down there, I got a couple of buddies that have been living there. They've been fishing it on the outgoing tide with live ladyfish, and they've been doing. They've been very productive on the snook. They majority of them are very, you know, oversized snook, but they're freelining live ladyfish down there. You know, they're also catching an occasional Goliath grouper, but you know, most of them they're trying to target them big snook that hang out there at the Sanibel Causeway.
Yeah, I've heard that too. What about the tarpon? Because I've heard of a few juvenile tarpon there too.
I mean, I've heard of a few, but nothing really to...
Nothing to write home about. Yeah.
I mean, they see one or two a day.
Now, are they pegging them on the bottom, like with sinkers, or just freelining the baits?
Freelining them.
That's always fun when you use a big ladyfish like that, because you know it's going to be a stud fish. It comes up and wrecks it, usually.
It's going to be something good.
It's fun stuff. Those Goliath grouper, it surprises me how many of them there are down there.
Yes.
I mean, they're getting more and more prolific just about everywhere, but that particular bridge seems to hold an alarming number of different sizes.
I wonder how many snook they're actually eating a day.
Oh.
What's that?
Those are Goliaths.
Oh, I mean, picture you get one that's, say 300 pounds, eats a 4-foot shark.
Oh, yeah.
Alive. Well, it's on somebody's hook.
Yep.
You know, who knows? It's the only fish I know that can eat lionfish and lives through it. Doesn't really bother them. Mm-hmm. How the heck, what is their stomach made out of to swallow a live shark?
Cast iron with muriatic acid.
Yeah, and be able to suck up a lionfish, which kills almost everything. Good God. You know, and with the lionfish becoming more and more prolific, I mean, I'm beginning to wonder if maybe we should just leave the Goliath on the list because
if we eat them out.
Yeah.
Eat them all.
Because it take, you know, those lionfish aren't very big, so it's going to take a lot of them to fill up a Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but who knows, you know. All right, Matt Lachey.
You'll go at this one. I haven't heard anything, honestly.
Sword Point's been doing very good at the mouth of the Coosahatchee. There's a lot of big sheep's head in there. There's, you know, some good-sized mangrove snappers. If you go target those deeper, like, corners in there, there's been some very big snook sitting in there, too. Then St. James City, that's been doing very good on the trout and the redfish. Further up by the power lines, you know, on the Pine Island side of the power lines, that's been doing very, very good on the redfish in there. There's still some of your big bull reds in there right now. Crab and cut ladyfish have been working the best on them.
Cut ladyfish been working better? Or the crab?
Ladyfish.
Ladyfish?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
The crabs are still working. It's just, you know, the ladyfish are everywhere right now.
Yeah, crabs are always kind of that consistent staple, but it seems like they go in spurts where one week the crab is out fishing everything else, and then the following week it kind of flips back and forth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Flipping across the island to Pine Island Sound on the outside of there.
I've been staying away from there.
Yeah.
On hit and miss red tide?
Yeah, yes. Hit or miss red tide, personally. Too many questionable instances going on down there. Maybe worth checking out, but be prepared to go to Plan B.
Boquilla, Jug Creek.
That's kind of the spotty same too, thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately. You know, it's just Plan B sometimes. In our instance, it's usually Plan
okay,
H. And, yeah.
By the time we got to the boat show, that was Plan J, I think, by the time we got down there. All right. Brings us over to Burnstour and Two Pines. Now, I've been hearing sporadic reports of red tide hitting over there, but I still hear about guys fishing.
Yeah, there was some red tide over there on Monday and Tuesday. Flowed in pretty good and killed tens of thousands of pinfish and white bait. What little white bait was in the harbor is now deceased.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard a couple of fish being caught more closer towards the Burnstour channel of redfish and snook. And then just on the other side of the channel, kind of the same thing. The redfish did get a little bit smaller, though. I mean, I've heard of some more rat reds and fish in that just barely legal, you know, 18, 19 inch range.
There was a good little school down towards Two Pines. That was of last week. I don't know if they're still there or not, if that red tide pushed them out, but there was a good little school of redfish, good sized redfish running over there.
Now you're not sure if they're gone or not? Because you haven't been down to chase them.
Nope.
Why would you leave 100 redfish to go chase after 20 redfish?
Because I got other redfish.
Oh, I know.
Well, you do it the way I do it. I got
I don't like the
this
fish
spot
up.
Here, and I fish them for an hour or so, and then I'm off to another spot because I know I got a trip tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And if I can just go in, catch a few fish, okay, we had a good, happy time here. All right, guys, we're going to pack it up. We're going to go see about some different fish. And it was surprising how well my clients agreed to that. But, I, you know, like you weed them out after time. The ones are, what do you mean we got to go? I'm catching fish here. I want to stay here. Come on, bud. We don't live on the planet by ourselves. Everybody should get a chance. You know,
you're
we
not
gotta,
happy with 75 trout? Come on.
Like where I fish today, I won't fish there for another 3 days.
Yeah, it's just I was constantly moving around hitting different fish all the time, because you know it's as soon as you do that, A, you lose the spot, B, it's not good for the fish
either.
Putting
too much pressure on them,
and it's too much stress. Because when you know where they are and you know how to catch them, you just go there. You can wear them out. And even if you, let's say you had a 2% mortality, well, 2% and then 2% more and 2% more and 2% more and 2% more, you've got to give them time to recover. It's just common sense.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, we're going to push up there, east side, Cormorant Key, Sneaky Creek, Hops Point, Pirate Harbor, where, when, if, or anything.
Mixed reports of same thing with the redfish, mostly on the smaller side, with a few that are just barely legal on the low-end side. And they're up along the bushes and also out there on the flats and some of that deeper grass. I've had a few more reports of some trout. Some of the guys that are doing the best are drifting across that flat, trying to stay more towards the harbor side of the flat in about 3 to 4 feet of water, and just literally drifting and blind casting all over those grass flats with like the 17MR has been working killer over there on the trout, but also just a plain old DOA paddle tail, whether it's on one of those popping corks or just by itself on. Most of those guys fishing that deeper water throwing the quarter-ounce jig heads.
Yeah.
But I like the eighth because it's just a little quieter presentation, personally.
I like the quarter because I'm too impatient for that eighth. You drop your rod tip and the eighth ounce goes, okay, maybe I'll fall. Okay, maybe I'm going to drop. All right, now I'll go down. When you drop your rod tip with a quarter-ounce, it goes down. When I pick the rod tip up, it comes back up.
You good know, point.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. If it now, once that water temp hits 60, I'll go 1/8 ounce, even 1/16 ounce, just to keep them kind of swimming through the grass where I don't have to go very fast. Nice, slow, moderate retrieve allows me to bring that bait along nice and easy. But it ain't 60 yet, so let me rock. Alligator Creek, poachers cook. Do you? Alligator Creek. Did trout come up in there yet?
Crickets. Not yet.
No,
I've been
not
hearing.
Yet. But on the east wall, I mean, there is a lot of redfish on that east wall. It's just they're sitting way, way, way in the islands in those deep holes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty hard for a lot of people to get to those holes back there, but there's a lot of redfish that are holding up in them deep, deep holes.
All right, what about Pond Stellium Park?
Snook. I mean, there's always snook in there. There's always snapper. A few sheeps that have been showing up. There's also been a few, you know, black drum running in and out of there. Uh-huh. There's smaller black drum.
The smaller size?
Yeah, the eating size.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing over there. I also heard of two cobia that were hooked over there, but they were both small. One guy saw a bonnethead shark swim by, which he was amazed because he fishes there all the time and he's never seen a bonnethead swim through there.
And bonnetheads are on every sandbar right now.
Yeah, I've heard they're really starting to make a pretty good presence.
Five or six on shrimp.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool to watch them swim.
Oh, it's fun to fight them on light tackle.
Yeah.
Okay, where am I? PGI Canals.
Jacks galore.
Yeah. Jacks are everywhere. Snook are moving all over the place on all the lights at night, along with a bunch of juvenile tarpon. Mm-hmm. But the big deal has been the jacks. They're coming in there. they're chasing some of those schools of mullet, and then they're chasing all that little fish fry that's in there and just having a blast.
There's been some pretty good-sized jacks in there.
Yeah, like up to 10 pounds, isn't it? Yeah.
There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon, too.
A lot of guys are doing well trolling through there or just blind casting, working points and corners of the canals and picking those jacks up. It's been... That's definitely been the talk of the town.
Yeah.
I love catching them. I mean, Frank said it best years ago, if they could teach them to jump, they'd be the greatest sport fish around.
Nobody would go for tarpon anymore.
No. Yeah, tarpon would take second seat on that one.
I mean, if for some reason other jacks would learn how to jump, it would be the most protected prize game fish on the planet.
Yep.
Yep.
There's no way around it. Anything at Gilcrest Pier?
Nope.
No.
Still been pretty slow there.
All right. Heading out to the reef. Anything out by Alligator Creek Reef?
Spanish mackerel, some sheep's head. Been even a couple trout caught off of there, a couple spade fish.
A few cobia,
yeah.
But small ones.
Yeah, mostly on the shorter side. You know, but it's starting to definitely, it's on the upswing there without a doubt because of the variety that the guys are starting to see and catch there, so... It's a worthwhile place if you're not getting the snot beat out of you with the wind. It's worth going over there and driving over and checking out.
I really like trolling there. You know, I troll those Savage swim baits, and I also troll those big storm paddle tails over there on that reef. That's how I fish the reef.
All right. Any reports from the deep holes in the harbor?
All the catfish you want.
Yep.
There's a ton of catfish out there. There has been some Spanish mackerel and some bluefish out there, especially in the lower hole closer towards Pirate Harbor. But it's been relatively quiet this past week for some reason. I think the majority of people were taking advantage of the wind-free few days and boogied offshore and ran right past it without messing around, taking their time trolling and messing.
Okay. Now, with the red tides... Anybody heard of any bait, pinfish, greenbacks?
There's Turtle Bay is full. I mean, pinfish. There's pinfish all over in Turtle Bay. I mean, I sabiki'd up for like 5 minutes today, and I probably had 30 or 40 pinfish. I'm just tipping my sabiki with, you know, little squid pieces.
Okay. That doesn't work, does it?
Oh, it works amazing. Thank you for letting me know that, though. It saves me from throwing a net right now. It's too cold out there for that.
Anything else? Anywhere else?
I seen a couple little pods of white bait in Turtle Bay today. I mean, nothing really to brag about, but I mean, there was a few pieces of white bait running around.
Leave it alone. All the other ones got killed.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot of glass minnows in there right now too.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about bait. I've heard of some good squirrel fish and pinfish out about 2 miles offshore. You know, guys going around some of those crab trap lines on their way out to go offshore. The weird part is nobody's brought up thread fins or cigar minnows or anything like that near shore that I've heard of. Mm-mm. Which, not super surprising, but for as much as it was out there, you know, 2 weeks ago that you were hearing about, all of a sudden it's kind of a little ghost town.
All right. Freshwater stuff. Any reports of bass anywhere?
A few bass. The Nine Mile Canal, obviously, is always one of those more common places to fish, but... I've had a couple guys that have been
fishing shiners
and plastic frogs. Same way with Rotunda. I've had some really good reports out there in some of those Rotunda lakes and some of those Inglewood canals.
All right. In Rotunda, what are they using?
Same thing. The guys are buying shiners and they're buying the frogs. It's a toss-up between that Booyah frog and the Strike King frog. I'm not sure which one's selling better.
Apparently the crappie bite started.
Yeah.
Because they're coming in and buying minnows left and right.
Teddy did really good the other day, but he went to another area the next day and he said it took him almost 5 hours to catch his limit. And he said some of the canals they're bunched up real tight and other canals are just scattered, but they're starting to get in groups because he says you'll catch one and then you catch two or three and then it's done. Then you move down a little farther, you catch one, then you move down a little farther, three. So, they are definitely starting to get excited out there. He said he was upset because a couple guys found out where he was fishing. Yeah. You were in here this morning for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was.
Oh, somebody looked at, figured out what his truck looked like and was following
him
around?
They seen him.
Oh, they saw him?
Yeah, the next day they were there.
The next day they were there.
That he would have 10 hats by now. But he's got to be one of the, just the most gentle people on the planet. I mean, for all those muscles and everything else, just one a nice guy. But you would think he would have learned by now. Get a fake beard, one of those, Groucho Marx eyeglass and mustache things, a couple of different hats.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
He said he's having to leave it dark to beat these guys there because they're just beating the snot out of his spot.
Oh, yeah. And that's the worst part about it. Anything else going on anywhere?
That's really about it. I've heard the Oscar bike down in the Everglades has been sick. Off of 41 and off of 75, the boat ramps off of I-75 and all those ponds down along 41. Guy was in here today, and he said him and his buddy's been going down there a couple times a week and just doing really, really good on the Oscars.
The rivers are starting to pick up.
With freshwater?
No.
We already did that.
Oh, I didn't know. I was just, I didn't know.
You're missing out.
That.
Well, that's where we started. It's up
there. Okay.
How do you spell rotundra?
How am I doing today?
Yeah.
Why am I thinking it's R-H, but it's not?
R-O-T-U-N-D-R-A?
R-O-T-O-N-D-A.
R-O-T-O-N-D-A. Rotunda. Okay. I kept thinking Rotunda or something. I know it just means circle, but. Well, anything else that we forgot to mention, talk about, do.
Slow down everything.
Slow down everything?
Yes. Yep. That water temperature drop.
Whoa, big fella, back off a bit here.
Yep. Slow everything down.
Slow it down.
I mean, we were looking at redfish today on the trolling motor, and I seen them. I was looking at them, and. My guys were just casting and casting and casting at them, and I finally dropped the power pole, and I was like, you know what? Just cast your baits out there. I told them where to cast it because that's where I seen them running, and I was like, just leave it there. And then we started catching them a lot more like that way.
Okay. So more just let the bait sit.
Let
Don't
your bait
get too
sit.
Active.
The water's pretty clear out there, so them fish could see very well right now.
So, what size leader are you using, 25, 30?
I'm still using 30. It's just I'm not really casting as much at the fish,
Gotcha.
I figure out where they're running on the mangroves, because they're not all the way up in the mangroves right now. They're trying to come out a little bit in the sun. But, just get your baits in that path where those fish are traveling and just let it sit there. That's
I
seem
used to have
to
one spot where there's this big, long ditch, and as long as I was outside of the ditch, and we cast up onto the other side of it, I would catch a snook every 3 to 7 minutes. All of a sudden, boom, we get another snook on. And they just travel up and down that looking. And
it's what those redfish are doing right now.
If you can find those long troughs along a mangrove shoreline and stuff, those fish just go up and down and up and down until you get somebody parked their boat in the ditch. And then everything's gone. Everything shuts down because they just don't. They don't go back and forth anymore.
Yeah, because there's somebody
there. They just stop. And as soon as the guy leaves, you can go back and anchor up correctly and start catching fish again. And every few minutes, you'll get another fish. It's not gangbusters. You're waiting.
But it's slow and steady.
Yeah, maybe 10 minutes between fish. But oftentimes, it's, say, between 5 and 10 minutes, you'll get another fish, a redfish or a snook or whatever. It's just funny how, as soon as somebody breaks the traffic pattern, it's over.
It's all about positioning your boat in the right spot, because you don't want to position your boat where those fish are traveling through, because it's going to,
And what's really weird is they're going up, and they turn around, and they come back. Then they go turn around, and they go back. And they turn around, and they go back. But I guess they're kind of in that ditch, and they just want to kind of look and see where the food is. Maybe it's too boring sitting in one space. So, okay, let's take a walk, Look at these crazy city people. They get out and wander around the block all morning, They call it jogging, but, I don't know. To me, it looks like, let's go wander around the neighborhood a little bit,
Another thing is look for your mullet. Wherever I see a large concentration of mullet, I'm fishing for redfish right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, final thoughts of the adventure here today.
Carl's advice is really good. I mean, it's dead on. I mean, look for the mullet because they are starting to ball up to go row. A lot of predators following them. The cool part is once they go offshore to row, they bring other predators back in with them. You should start to maybe see some big black tips or some sandbars in the next few weeks moving into the mouth of Boca Grande. And work everything really slow right now with that water temperature. And then probably the best advice I'd say, sleep in.
Yeah, you don't have to
wait the
up
extra
crack of dawn,
hour or two. Enjoy breakfast. Enjoy a cup of coffee.
I froze my butt off this
well,
morning.
It's really good he had that last bit because I was wondering, what the heck do I need him for? You know, you said you got it all. So I was thinking, you know, I put up with him for the last hour. Why the hell did I just do that? But you redeemed yourself. You proved you still got it there, buddy.
Once in a while?
Yeah, still got it. It's okay. You've redeemed yourself.
All right.
Yes, I love this time of year because I don't have to get up with the crack of dawn, you know, and it's nice to have a leisurely coffee and a little breakfast, mm-hmm. hook up everything and get out, go on the water. You want to be fishing between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have to be there before that, you know, and just a month ago, you needed to be there leaving the ramp as the sun came up,
right.
Maybe even before, idling out in the dark, trying to get as fish that first bit of the day just to get any fish, because by 9-10 o'clock the fishing was getting bad. It wasn't great again, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's just the opposite. We got all afternoon to fish. It's amazing. Love this time of year, and I don't have to travel to the Gulf to find fish. There's plenty of fish up here. Saves me a ton of gas. I don't have to do a lot of running around. I guess that's it. I don't have anything good to say about anything. I'm just gonna sit here and be contrary.
Okay.
Well, I really don't know. I was stuck in the house for 2 weeks. I had a few days off. I got stacks of paperwork I was doing, you know, doing all this other stuff. And then I've been at the Fort Myers Boat Show because I've been...
Even though you ran yourself ragged, you actually look really good. And mm-hmm. I can tell that the customers that came through were pretty incredible overall because...
Oh, we had the best
you
time.
You were...
Just the best time. There's so many cool
people.
You're
perky for as tired as I know you really genuinely are. Your feet have got to be sore and ran a million miles, but to have those customers come down there and make it.
We had people from here,
yep.
And a lot of the regulars that we've been seeing year after year in Fort Myers, and now they know we have the new store in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
But between the people here, the regulars we see there, and a ton of new people, and I think it's just our location there because we're so far from the crazy land up there. Everybody's just taking their time. And, you know, you say, oh, man, what do you think of the show? Is this great? And they're talking about how great the boat show is. And a couple times even got around to talking to people about, you know, maybe do you want to buy some fishing tackle? But mostly we're just having fun. And we just
very nice people.
We had a ball all day. I mean,
I think they come down to that end to decompress.
And
could be.
I didn't, you know? Outside of two very strange city women, I didn't run into any, and they weren't mean. They were just really weird.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't run into any nasty people or not one during the whole boat show. 4 days and then set up and everything. I mean,
it was a great time.
It was a great time, and we just had a blast. So, really looking forward to doing that again. We got the Charlotte County Boat Show coming up in January. Then at the first week in March, we'll be at the Bonita Springs Boat Show at the dog track thing down there. And then we have the big Fish and Frank's Tent event here in the middle of March. So, we've still got a lot on our plate for the rest of this year, but we're going to keep everybody up on that. But, yeah, our next stop is, I think, the second week of January at the Charlotte County Boat Show. We'll be there giving fishing seminars, doing all that. Of course, we still do all the Luigi stuff. And we do have the store in North Fort Myers in the new Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. We're about 3 blocks south of Pine Island Road on New 41 Cleveland Avenue, whatever you want to call it. But really, if you go out of Fish and Frank's, turn right. You go down, you turn right into that. And I keep almost always turning into Northern Tool because their driveway's bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and I pull it down. I got to recorrect it back on the road to get in ours because we're the next driveway after Northern Tool when you're coming from the north. So, you know, and they don't carry screws down there. That's the only thing, Northern Tool. I went in there to buy, like, we were putting the, you know, the pegboard up, yeah. Doing all that. They don't carry screws anymore. Had to go over to Home Depot to get them. lot of tools.
That's odd.
But just no, they don't do fastener stuff. Yeah, it was weird. It was a nice store other than that. I don't get down there often, but it was a nice store.
Yeah.
I was just surprised they didn't carry screws.
That is kind of surprising.
A lot of tools, but I guess the name doesn't say Northern Screws. It says Northern Tools. You know? So I guess it makes sense. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. Robert in the chair across from me. And in the guest spot today is Captain Carl. How many redfish today?
51.
51 redfish on today's charter.
17 black drum. They were from 20 to about 35 inches.
What I think is amazing, he can remember he caught 51 redfish, 17 black drum, but earlier at the counter.
But he doesn't know how to answer that.
Can't answer that phone. That return call button, he just can't find it. But, I'm always surprised when he remembers his name when he's standing at the counter, and he can remember all this stuff. I always say there's two Carls, one off the water, one on the water.
Yeah.
It's,
yep.
Yes, it's a Jekyll and Hyde thing, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, Captain Carl there in the guest spot. And we thank you guys so much for listening. We've just had another great time. Hopefully you didn't get too annoyed with us all. And one day I will tell the story of the two city women and the plastic lure. I'm really glad the first time I told it, it got erased. But one of these days I will tell that story. Oh, my God. Some city folks just shouldn't be let out without a leash. So, anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and thank you all so much for listening. We really, really do appreciate it. And we'll see you here at the Port Charlotte store or at the new Fort Myers store or at the Bonita Springs Dog Track during that show or at the Charlotte County Fairgrounds or up at Luigi's when we're doing a talk or one of the fishing clubs somewhere. We're kind of everywhere nowadays, I think.
Spread thin.
Bye-bye.